Cloudy skies, 65 degrees in Atlantic. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms mainly this afternoon, a high around 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. There are some areas of dense fog this morning across west central Iowa, especially for Greene, Boone, Guthrie, and Dallas counties. Some of the major roads impacted by the fog include State Highway 141 and U.S. Highways 169 and 30. Visibilities are less than a quarter of a mile in some locations, so if you encounter that fog, be sure and slow down and allow extra space between you and the vehicle in front of you. The fog is expected to slowly lift during the mid-morning hours. In the news this morning, Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker Thursday issued a press release in response to what he calls baseless allegations brought against him and his former chief deputy by his opponent in the June 5th primary, Republican John Hitchcock.
During this last year, he has made over 24 Freedom of Information Act requests from the sheriff's office. And we provide him all the way, anything from cell phone bills, clothing allowances, cars purchased, IT policy, other policies and procedures.
The sheriff told KJAN News that Hitchcock put together a group of about 11 items for a review by County Attorney Matt Wilbur. To make sure there was no conflict of interest or impropriety, Wilbur then sent that information to Dallas County Attorney Wayne Reisetter.
And the Dallas County Attorney looked it over, and I wasn't even aware of this until the information came back, and Dallas County Attorney said there was nothing there, that there was no criminal charges there, and he was very pointed in his response there about what his opinion was of having to go through this process.
Danker says after review of the baseless criminal allegations, Reisetter concluded the vast majority of the material does not appear to be remotely related to a cause for criminal investigation, and raises a serious question as to whether Hitchcock making the allegations has the remotest idea as to the function and scope of a criminal investigation or the limits of government intrusion by investigation.
It's really disappointing that it appears to me that he did whatever he could to come up with something to try to destroy my reputation so he would have a better shot at winning the election for sheriff.
The election marks the first time that Danker, who served the residents of Pottawatomie County as sheriff for the past 20 years and has been with the department for a total of 35 years, is facing an opponent. He said it appears that Hitchcock is disparaging him in an attempt to win the election because, quote, he has no experience in administration or supervising law enforcement, that reference there to Hitchcock. We'll have Hitchcock's response to that in just a moment. News time is 8:03.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A candidate for sheriff in Pottawatomie County has issued a press release late last night, in fact, responding to Sheriff Jeff Danker's claims that his allegations were baseless. Republican John Hitchcock says he took it upon himself to look into several complaints that he thought required additional information and scrutiny. Hitchcock says after announcing his political campaign to run for sheriff of Pottawatomie County, members of the public began to bring numerous complaints to his attention regarding incumbent Sheriff Jeff Danker's office. Hitchcock, who's from Council Bluffs, is a senior trooper with the Iowa State Patrol. He says after reviewing the complaints on his off-duty time, making and paying for open records requests under the open record laws under the Code of Iowa, many of the complaints were discarded or found to have no factual basis, but some of the complaints, in his opinion, required additional scrutiny. He says since it would be a huge conflict of interest for him to conduct an investigation against Danker, a law enforcement officer, he made the decision to turn the information over to a non-biased third party. He says on his personal time, he made, quote, the ethical and moral choice, then turned the information over his to his direct supervisor with the understanding the Iowa State Patrol turned the information for review to the Pottawatomie County Attorney, Matt Wilbur. Wilbur claimed a conflict of interest, as I mentioned, and turned it over to Dallas County Attorney Wayne Reissetter for review. Hitchcock says that Reissetter did not contact him regarding any of the information that was released Thursday for review prior to issuing his opinion. He said it appears Reissetter's opinion was reached only by using the information provided by Hitchcock, and to his knowledge, no further investigation was conducted. In his press release, Hitchcock said that Danker released only small portions of Reissetter's letter, and he scolded the media for not requesting, quote, all documents related to this information instead of sound bites chosen by the Jeff Danker campaign during this primary election. He suggested the citizens of Pottawatomie County request a copy of the letter and review it themselves. He also blamed Danker for the situation, claiming he has not released a platform as to his plans for the next 4 years, and instead chose to create a press release about Hitchcock's allegations. Hitchcock said it was Danker's campaign that, quote, has chosen to expose the questionable activities by his administration, and questions of the longtime sheriff, if the longtime sheriff has any plans for the next 4 years, or, quote, is he relying only on his name to get him elected? In other news, the Omaha World Herald reports an Omaha man who authorities say played a role in a staged shooting in Ottawa on March the 8th has pled guilty to some of the charges originally filed against him. 19-year-old Joseph A. Roberts agreed to plead guilty to extortion and reckless use of a firearm in exchange for two other charges being dropped. The deal involves Roberts receiving a suspended 5-year sentence and 5 years of probation to be served concurrently. The arrangement has yet to be approved by a judge. And as we previously reported, 32-year-old Darren Hyber and 24-year-old Brady Chapman were arrested in connection with the February 5th shooting at Hyber's trucking business. Hyber told police he was shot in the leg while interrupting a burglary. Police say Hyber devised a scheme to have Chapman, his employee, shoot him with a .22 caliber rifle to distract him from his personal problems. The Omaha World-Herald had reported Hyber missed his estranged wife and hatched the plan to try to get her back. Authorities say Hyber was shot again on March the 8th after conspiring with Roberts and another Omaha man, 19-year-old Timothy Cully, to have that event staged in part so the trio could allegedly extort money from Hyber's family. Hyber and Cully have both entered pleas of not guilty in connection to the incident. Omaha police say two Florida residents are in jail after a traffic stop turned up firearms and drugs. Police say an officer stopped a car Thursday on Interstate 80. Authorities say the officer's request to search the car was denied, so they brought in a police dog that made a positive hit. The search turned up cocaine, methamphetamine, and LSD, 9 weapons, including a semi-automatic rifle and a .50 caliber handgun, along with hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Christopher Knack and Tia Donahue, both of Kissimmee, Florida, were booked into the Douglas County, Nebraska jail on drug and weapons charges, and it's not clear what their current disposition is. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources is monitoring the cleanup after a fertilizer fire at a co-op in Hornick in western Iowa. The fire at the Western Iowa Cooperative broke out Tuesday. The Woodbury County Sheriff's Office had urged residents at that time to evacuate because of concerns about air quality and residents' safety. The DNR says a small dam built by firefighters prevented water runoff contaminated with fertilizer and herbicide from reaching the ditch, which drains into the West Fork of the Little Sioux River. The dam and additional sand barriers also prevented runoff for storms that hit Tuesday night. The fire was caused by a malfunctioning loader. There were no injuries reported, and the DNR doesn't plan to take any enforcement actions. The Senate's Democratic leader and the governor's chief of staff are hailing a breakthrough in negotiations over a property tax reform plan, or tax relief plan, that is. But House Speaker Craig Paulson, the top Republican in the legislature, is expressing some caution.
I don't know what you define as a breakthrough. We continue to make progress and continue to work, and I'm pleased with the progress we're making.
On Thursday, Senate Democratic leader Mike Gronsdahl from Council Bluffs announced some details of the negotiated plan, including a 25% reduction in commercial property taxes over the next 5 years. Jeff Boyink, Republican Governor Terry Branstad's chief of staff, says that's a reduction of up to $400 million.
I'm confident that everybody is on the right path in terms of what this bill is going to look like.
According to Boyink, the agreement is to include a limitation on residential property tax increases and a tax cut for low-income Iowans, along with a 25% reduction in the commercial property taxes.
All of us have understood that that's what the framework's going to look like moving forward.
But the House Speaker says some details are still not quite settled.
There is a, I would say, a general agreement on the framework.
And it's unclear what path the bill may take, as similar proposals are being drafted in both the Iowa House and Senate. That means either the House or Senate could initiate the first formal public debate of the concept. And four Occupy Movement protesters have been arrested after disrupting a foreclosure auction in Des Moines. The Des Moines Register says nearly two dozen protesters began singing as the auction began at around 10 a.m. Thursday at the Polk County River Place building. They sang for more than an hour, but the auction resumed after the protesters left. The four who were arrested were cited for disorderly conduct and released. The protesters say they were making a general statement about the unfairness of the foreclosures. The Occupy movement began last year in New York, decrying what protesters see as corporate greed and the growing gap between the rich and the poor. News time is 8:11.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, 79-year-old Clifford Bax of Greenfield died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Clifford Bax will be today at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. 88-year-old Calvin Cal Steffen of Griswold died Sunday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Cal Steffen will be today at 10:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. 88-year-old Pearl Weston of Griswold died Wednesday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Services for Pearl Weston will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Esther Dorothy Pierce, age 89, of Atlantic and formerly of Hancock, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Dorothy Pierce will be on Monday at 1:30 at the Reekin Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. Esther Gosnell, age 100, of Fontenelle, died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Esther Gosnell are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Harold Wally Wallace, age 84, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Winterset Care Center North in Winterset. Funeral services for Wally Wallace are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Sherry Zeitlow, age 68, of Urbandale and formerly of the Avondale area, died Wednesday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Sherry Zeitlow are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Henson reporting.